Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Getting your packages to you faster and easier. Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Thanks for joining us. My name is Garrett, and I'm joined today by my friend Peter.
Hello, Garrett.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be here.
All right. Well, we are continuing our lesson that we started yesterday. In your daily life, friends, you might not think about global shipping all that often, but it's responsible for getting you all the things that you use in your life, and there are some issues around it. Peter, what are some of those things we talked about yesterday?
Right. Well, one of the issues, of course, in almost any discussion like this is the carbon footprint, the amount of greenhouse gases that contribute to climate change and global warming that are released by conventional shipping methods, which is to say those big, massive cargo ships that run mainly on diesel fuel or air transportation, massive cargo airplanes. Both forms of transportation have a large carbon footprint. They release a lot of carbon dioxide, or the equivalent of carbon dioxide in the form of other gases, into the environment.
Right. And so yesterday we were talking about this new startup called Vela, who has designed a ship to run entirely on wind, thereby reducing their carbon footprint. We also talked about one other issue in this kind of global shipping industry, and that's the bottleneck of these giant ships having to wait for space at ports, because there just aren't that many. We often call them deep sea ports.
Yes, ports that the water is deep enough to receive some of these huge cargo ships, because the hull, and that's another word we learned yesterday, which is the hull is the main part of a ship that goes in the water. It's the part that's underneath the water. But these ships have enormous hulls to carry all the cargo that they do. We're talking about hundreds, sometimes even thousands, of big Mack truck shipping containers. And so the ship has to be both very long and very sort of tall, you might say, even though most of its height is underneath the water where the hull is. And so if the water at your port isn't deep enough, then the ship can't come there.
Right. And wars have been fought over these deep sea ports. They really are important for an economy. Well, before we jump into today's article, since we are talking about kind of helping the environment and decarbonizing, Peter, I wonder, what things do you do in your life to help decarbonize the world?
Well, not as much as I should, I admit, but my wife and I do keep track of all the plastic bags that we get, and we save them and reuse them, either for garbage around the house or when we go out shopping again. We just take a single plastic bag of some sort and not get an additional plastic bag from the retailer when we've made our purchase. We just put it in our own plastic bag, and so that saves, you know, keeps some plastic out of the trash piles, as it were.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I do all that much either. I will say one thing that makes me a total hypocrite if you were in the studio right now, but I do try and bring my own like bottle around to fill up with water and not buy plastic kind of bottles. And I say I'm a total hypocrite because I have a plastic bottle of coffee right in front of me right now.
I can see it.
Yeah. Maybe I'm a hypocrite in that, but I feel like I've gotten somewhat better over the years with that part. Well, we are talking about decarbonizing the shipping industry with this new wind-powered ship. We have more to say about it, so let's jump into our first reading.
The new sailing cargo vessel is much smaller than a container ship, around 220 feet long, versus as much as 1,300 feet for an ultra-large container ship. It carries only 600 European pallets, compared to hundreds of thousands on a large ship. But the small size means it can access less crowded terminals at ports, avoiding long lines. It's also much faster to load and unload than a container ship, which can take as long as a week to unload, depending on its size. The racing-inspired design helps Vela's vessel cross the ocean at speeds similar to a standard ship. Depending on the time of year, crossing from Europe to the US could take 10 to 13 days, according to modeling based on wind patterns from the past decade. A regular cargo ship might take 9 or 10 days. Because it saves time at ports and the total delivery time is shorter, it's more reliable for customers. For freight, which can run as much as $1 million in commercial value for a single pallet, it's also safer, since cargo stays inside the ship until it's transferred to secure storage.
All right, we have more to learn today in this section. We see that this new sailing cargo vessel is much smaller than a container ship. Yeah, container ship really are those giant kind of shipping ships,
right?
Because they carry, we call them containers, right?
Right. Containers are also a word that we'll get to in a moment. Pallets, which is basically a wooden platform on which you can store or put heavy things, and the wooden pallet, the little platform that it's on, enables it to be moved around more easily once it's in port.
Right. You might see pallets if you go to like a big kind of wholesaler.
Yeah.
I think of a store like Costco,
where
they're moving around those goods on those pallets. I also think back to my time in college when my friends and I, we'd like steal them from the back of stores. I don't do this, friends. And to have like a bonfire on the beach. All of this is very illegal.
Yes.
And I shouldn't be saying it on our program, but that's what I think of when I think of pallets.
Sure, sure. We all have our connotations, things, our associations with things.
Yeah, they are kind of useful for that, but they are mainly used for moving these goods around. We see these new ships are around 220 feet long versus as much as 1,300 feet for an ultra-large container ship. That's a big difference.
Right. That's a difference of about 67 meters for the sailing cargo vessels to about 396 meters for the ultra-large container ship.
So, of course, these new ships can't carry quite as much stuff. And here's where we get to that word pallet. It carries only 600 European pallets. I imagine that's kind of a standardized unit.
Yeah, the European pallet. They're both made of wood or some kind of heavy plastic of some sort. But yeah, that would be my guess too.
All right. So there's hundreds of thousands on a large ship. This is a lot less stuff. But that small size can be a benefit. It means it can access less crowded terminals at ports, avoiding long lines. This almost feels like we're getting ready to get on a plane.
Yeah, yeah. But I can see the benefit there, because you can understand this idea in any field of human endeavor, so to speak. Anywhere you have a decision between something that is big and can carry a lot of stuff versus several smaller things that can carry less individually but are more flexible.
Yeah, the big one is probably the overhead, or the costs might be a little bit lower.
Right.
But there are some issues with it, of course. And I said, it sounds like we're getting ready to get on a plane, because when we use that word terminal, we often think of the different terminals at an airport.
Right, right.
So here, this is for ships, these terminals or places where the boat can dock in order to offload their goods. Well, this ship can go to these smaller ports or less crowded terminals at the same ports. And that is much faster to load and unload than a container ship, which can take as long as a week to unload.
That's
surprising.
Goodness, you know what it's like to unload the car after a family vacation of some sort, you know. I mean, imagine the ship that carries those cars, you know. Yeah, a week to unload, goodness.
And it means that ship is taking up that space at the port
right.
for a long period of time
right, yeah.
while the other ships are waiting.
We don't have infinite space here, yeah.
No, absolutely not. So a little more flexibility from the smaller ship can be very beneficial. Again, we see it is a racing-inspired design, and that helps the vessel cross the ocean at speeds similar to a standard ship. Now, when I think of speeds of a ship, there's one word that comes to mind. Do you know what it is, Peter?
Knots.
Yes. I like that word, knots. Now, we're not talking about a string or a rope. It's a unit of speed that we really only use for ships.
Yeah. I don't know what it is off the top of my head in terms of kilometers
per
hour.
I don't know either.
Per hour, but yeah, it's not radically different, but it's not exactly the same as miles per hour or kilometers per hour. There's some subtle difference.
Sure. Okay, so these can go quite fast, and depending on the time of year, crossing from Europe to the U.S. could take 10 to 13 days. That's according to modeling based on wind patterns from the past decade. Again, our article, the title of it, talks all about those trade winds, right?
Right, yeah, the winds in the Atlantic Ocean that are beneficial to ships wanting to go from Europe or Africa over to North America.
Yeah, a regular cargo ship might take 9 or 10 days. And that means this ship is a bit slower than even those massive container ships. And that's because it's not burning fuel, right?
Exactly.
It's just based on the wind.
Right, yeah. I mean, you look at this sentence, it's a little oddly written because it almost sounds like the regular cargo ship comes across sounding like the better alternative because it seems to be faster. But the point is, you're paying for that alternative. You're paying for it in carbon emissions. You're paying for it in unreliability because of the huge size of the ship. So for a smaller sailing cargo ship to be able to make the trip in a few days more than your average cargo ship is considered a benefit because it's almost the same. Imagine if the small sailing cargo ship had to do the trip in double the number of days, then there'd be more, uncertainty about whether it's really that much of an improvement. But since it's almost the same as a regular cargo ship's travel time, that's a benefit.
Yeah, it's fairly efficient. And the other thing is it doesn't have to unload for a whole week.
Exactly.
So it's able to do more trips potentially. Well, it saves time at ports, and the total delivery time is shorter, and so it's more reliable for customers. Of course, that is important. And here in our next sentence, we see a word that I feel like we've maybe used a couple times, but we haven't explained it, and that's that word freight.
Freight, yeah. Freight, basically another word for cargo. We maybe have heard the expression a freight train, particularly in the United States, I guess, which is a train that doesn't carry people or passengers, but just cargo. And they're often very, very long, sometimes a mile in length or a couple kilometers in length, because they're just carrying freight and they just need that one engine up front to get them going, and then they can carry tons and tons of cargo or freight across the country. But yeah, freight, the word, basically the same as cargo.
Yeah, so just that stuff that's being moved around so that it can be bought and sold. Well, for freight, which can run as much as $1 million in commercial value for a single pallet, it's also safer since cargo stays inside the ship until it's transferred to secure storage. And here's where we get back to what I was talking about before. Sometimes those shipping containers can fall off those giant ships.
Right, yeah.
Because they're all carried above deck.
Right.
It's not inside of the ship
where
it can't fall out.
Yeah, yeah. There is literally, like you mentioned, they are usually secured in some way, but there is technically nothing preventing them from a strong enough wind or a wave surge of some sort from tipping right over the side of the ship into the water. There is no barrier there to stop that from happening.
Yeah, usually that doesn't happen, but it would be really sad if that single pallet had as much as $1 million in commercial value.
Yeah.
They're shipping, like we said, these high-end luxury goods on these new ships, and you need it to be reliable for that. Well, friends, we're not done quite yet. Let's move on to our next reading.
Clean, quiet, and light. On board, the ship is plastered in more than 2,500 square feet of solar panels that feed a battery. Two hydro generators also create electricity as the ship moves through the water. This helps power refrigeration for cargo like pharmaceuticals. along with other electricity used on the ship. The ship's propulsion runs almost entirely on wind, except for navigation inside ports. The system cuts emissions by 99% compared to air freight and 90% compared to container ships. It's also better for marine life because it doesn't create noise as it sails. The noise from cargo ships makes it hard for whales and other animals to communicate and can even cause permanent hearing damage. It doesn't pollute water with ballast water or fuel either. The body of the ship is made from aluminum, lighter than a typical steel cargo ship, and is easier to recycle at the end of a ship's life.
All right, and we're back. So this ship is clean, quiet, and light. Let's talk about how that is true. On board, the ship is plastered in more than 2,500 square feet solar panels that feed a battery. Why are we talking about plaster?
Right. Well, this is plaster that isn't plaster the noun, like the material that is used to make walls and houses a lot of the time. This is the verb form of plaster, which means to completely cover a surface with something, perhaps large pieces of paper, pictures. When you're hanging pictures in your house, you might put one picture there on the wall, one picture there. But maybe you have a friend who has an entire wall just covered with pictures, maybe family pictures, pictures of friends, or maybe artistic pictures. In that case, we would say that your friend has plastered the wall with pictures, completely covered it with pictures, not literal plaster. And that's the same thing in our article. The ship is plastered in more than 2,500 square feet, or 232 meters squared, of solar panels.
Right. Solar panels, of course, creating energy from sunlight. What you just said reminded me of my bedroom growing up. I did plaster my walls with posters of sports stars.
Yes,
for
sure.
A while, because they would come in my Sports Illustrated magazine. And so I don't think I even knew all the players. I just liked hanging them up.
Sure.
It was a lot of fun. Well, so this might be another way in which they're able to reduce their carbon footprint. They have these solar panels and also two hydro generators. Peter, what might that be?
Right, a hydro generator. A generator is just, of course, I think we know, something that creates electricity from a fuel motor of some kind, usually. Well, a hydro generator, perhaps you can guess, is a generator that creates electricity from water, hydro, water. A hydro generator converts energy from moving water, the latent and kinetic energy from moving water, converts it into electricity. And that's what the solar panels are doing. They're feeding a battery that powers those hydro generators, creating electricity as the ship moves through the water. Now, I believe, though, that we would not call this a hybrid ship, term we learned yesterday, where it's fueled partly by electricity or gas and partly by wind. I think the ship still moves through the water by the power of wind, by the power of sails. But the electricity created by the hydro generators is to help create a safe environment for the products that are being shipped. Helps power refrigeration for cargo like pharmaceuticals, like we were saying. Big long word that just means drugs.
Right. And you might think back to a few years ago when there was a lot more conversation around this. During the COVID-19 pandemic, when those vaccines started to be pushed out, there was a lot of refrigeration needed.
Yes.
And that was one of the big challenges in maybe poorer or more impoverished areas, where maybe they could ship those vaccines there, but they couldn't store them if they didn't have adequate refrigeration.
Right.
So this is really important.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. And so that's why they need some electricity. I imagine they need it for a few other things, maybe to keep the lights on.
Exactly, yeah.
And do a few other things. But like Peter said, this ship is not using that electricity, or it doesn't seem like it, to push it forward. It's using wind, and that's for what we call propulsion.
Yes.
So propulsion really just means what is pushing the ship forward. Its propulsion runs almost entirely on wind. except for navigation inside ports.
There you go. So there's maybe a little engine of some sort when it is moving very slowly through ports to find its dock, its pier, where it has to link up, and the wind may not be enough to blow it, or you may not be able to have enough control over the movement of the ship if you rely only on wind when you're navigating the ports. So that it perhaps is where a little electronic motor is used, powered by those hydro generators.
Right. I imagine it is mostly kind of for control of that ship. I shared yesterday that as part of my work here at Studio Classroom, I had the chance to go on a small sailing ship. Oh. And of course, that's the propulsion is by the wind pushing against that sail. But as soon as we got close to the shoreline, they were burning fuel to turn that motor on, because otherwise you just couldn't steer it.
Exactly, yeah. That you're at the mercy of the wind, basically. And that's great when you're out on the open sea and there's nothing around for miles and miles. But when you are in port, you need to have more control.
Right. And there is one part of this that our article doesn't really tell us, but when they are navigating inside these ports, are they using the electricity that they generated before, or are they burning fuel? We don't really know here, but I'm sure there's a good answer for that. Well, either way, this system cuts emissions by 99%, or the amount of fuel or contribution to their carbon footprint. That's compared to air freight, and 90% compared to container ships.
Right. So in terms of decarbonization, term we learned yesterday, these are winners. I mean, 99%. It's almost 100% less than air freight and 90% less than the big container ships. That's a huge win in terms of decarbonization.
Absolutely. And that's mostly just for the amount of fuel and stuff they're burning. Of course, with all of these conversations, it's always important to think about what contribution they're making when building the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's often not calculated in there. Well, we continue on. It's also better for marine life. Why is that, Peter?
Well, it's better for marine life because it doesn't create noise as it sails. A sailing ship, any kind of sailing ship, is blown by the wind. There's no motor churning. There's no engine grinding. It's just the wind filling the sails and pushing the boat across the water. So the noise, apparently, of larger ships or any ship that uses an engine of some sort can disturb marine life.
Right. Like whales, we see whales and other animals, they can't communicate when there's those loud noises from these giant ships and can even cause permanent hearing damage. Oh no, we're going to have to start to develop some hearing aids for whales.
Well, there's a whole industry that's probably waiting to be developed.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to pay for it though. Well, either way, this doesn't cause those problems because it's not as loud. And it doesn't pollute water with ballast water or fuel either. Now, I thought this was really interesting, and so it led me to looking up a whole bunch of things online all around ballast and ballast water.
It's an interesting idea, ballast itself. It's some kind of material in a ship that the ship deliberately carries. It adds weight to the ship just to make it more steady in the water. And I think other forms of transportation may use this as well. A hot air balloon might have ballast, and if it wanted to rise higher, then it would throw some of that ballast over the side, maybe even an airplane. Mainly in ships, though, I think that's probably the best way to think about it.
Right. So think of those giant container ships, and that bottom part in the hull is actually kind of empty. But in order to like counterbalance the weight of the things they're carrying, well, usually when they don't have things on the ship, they'll take in that ballast water, and then once they load things on, they'll release it into the port. And so why would this be causing pollution or something else? It's just water. Well, ultimately, that's true. It's not like you're dumping fuel into the port. The thing that I saw online was mostly concern over introducing like bacteria or other species that don't belong in one part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're moving them with you, and it causes a lot of problems for marine life.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. Yeah. And just to be clear, the way that sentence is written, it doesn't pollute water with ballast water or fuel. Ballast is only modifying water there. There's no such thing really as ballast fuel. Fuel is fuel. You wouldn't want to just use that to steady the ship. You use that to power the engine of your ship if it's got an engine. So, that's helpful because ballast water, then you think, well, what's wrong with water? But depending on where it's been, could be a lot of things.
Right. There could be issues. It's not as bad as dumping fuel out there. But there are a lot of international treaties around using that ballast water. Well, finally here, we see the body of this ship is made from aluminum, or if you're from England, you might say aluminium. but we're Americans here.
Aluminum.
Yeah. And that is lighter than a typical steel cargo ship and easier to recycle at the end of a ship's life. You could think of recycling like an aluminum can that carried soda. They're apparently fairly easy to recycle.
Yeah, no, this is great. I almost have this picture of taking the cargo ship after 10 years of usage and crumpling it up or smashing it against my forehead like an aluminum soda can and tossing it into the recycle bin.
All right, so this new startup company is doing great things for the environment and thinking of new ways to ship things around the world. Well, friends, that's it for today. Thank you for learning with us. My name is Garrett.
I'm Peter.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.